The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
I'm Mike Consul.
And I'm Loretta Klodfelter.
Welcome to Inside the Edition for May 2020. Institutional Real Estate America's editor, Loretta Klodfelter, joins me per usual. Loretta, we are all sheltered in place. I understand that one of the major features in the May edition has to do with exactly that. Why don't you elaborate for us?
Yeah. So I am sheltering in place. Rising unemployment and the federal stimulus bill have implications for apartment sector is the title. And we took a look in the May issue pretty closely at what the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic could be on the apartment sector, and in particular, how rising unemployment and the federal stimulus could interact with that sector. What's interesting is even in the time since we sent the article to the printers for our May issue, we've gotten a bit more data out. So at the time of writing, we had April rent collection data, a look at how well April rents were doing as far as collection for the April 1st deadline. And so as of April 13th, rents were at about 85%, which was a titch below normal for that point, about 95% of normal. And now, as of actually this morning, we have new May rent collections. This is the National Multifamily Housing Council's data. May collections are coming in slightly higher. 87.7% of households had paid rent by May 13th. And I think that goes to support some of what we saw in the article, talking about what role stimulus and stimulus checks might have for helping people to stay in their home and pay rent. So, that May collection, which comes out after a lot more of the stimulus had managed to get out, a lot of people took a little while to get the checks. And then anyone who became unemployed, there's additional stimulus in the unemployment insurance going out. So that's an extra $600 a week for people on unemployment. So that plus the $1,200 per person stimulus that went to everyone making less than $75,000, those are two kind of big sources of income for people, income support for people right now. And I think that means that's why the May rent collections, apartment collections, are coming in a little ahead of May. May is coming in a little ahead of April 2020. It's still a little behind May 2019. But we didn't have a global pandemic in May 2019.
No, not at all. So is all the stimulus on between the unemployment checks that are being given out and the stimulus check that was sent out, is all of the help on the tenant side, or do the owners of multifamily properties also have any kind of relief from the federal government? I mean, it doesn't sound like they need a heck of a lot of relief, because it sounds like the rent's coming in.
Yeah, if they qualified for one of the PPP loans, that would be an additional support place of support. That's the Paycheck Protection Program. So giving
for their staff members, that would be, is that right?
Right. So that would be more on the business operations side. Some of these apartment landlords have fairly large staff, because the property management involved in running apartment properties, it's a little more hands-on than some other property types might be. What's really interesting is some of the challenges and how those challenges are being met in the market right now. You're seeing almost immediately, you saw a lot of closure of sort of common areas, you know, shared space, amenities. So a lot of closures, a lot of increased cleaning schedules, and, you know, property tours went to zero. And that's a real challenge. You know, if you can't, you know, be doing property tours, how do you keep your leasing going? And one answer to that is we're seeing a lot more virtual leasing tours. The interesting thing is that you've got a lot of technology that some apartment landlords had been looking at over the last few years. And all of a sudden, anyone who went in this direction is hugely advantaged right now. So, you know, if you have virtual leasing tours, that's huge. If you have gone to paperless checks for rent collection, you know, if you've gone online or digital collection, that's huge. Because trying to deal with paper checks right now is yet one more problem. So if you have a tenant portal, if you're able to handle, you know, a lot of maintenance issues very simply and with limited interaction, you know, the more you can do to interact with your tenants in a digital fashion as opposed to in person in a time of social distancing when we are trying to keep, you know, at least 6 feet away from every other person, these are all things that landlords are doing. And one possible bright spot for landlords is that there may be less move-outs right now. So, you know, we're not going to necessarily see a lot of rent growth for a few months, but you may not have the same turnover that you might have. And so you don't have necessarily like a unit empty for weeks or months to sort of solve that. So, you know, there's challenges for apartment owners. Obviously, it's not great out there. But, you know, one thing that landlords are doing is being very proactive about getting in touch with their tenants and talking about what sort of programs are out there and how to make sure that their tenants can, you know, the goal in everyone I've spoken with, the goal is keeping people in their apartment as much as possible. You know, you don't want to be putting people out in the middle of a pandemic. So, you know, keeping people in their home is a real priority for most landlords, and, you know, helping them figure out how they can keep paying rent is another. The interesting thing about this particular downturn and the particular shape of how the economy is being affected, you know, as you know, in April we had an unemployment rate hitting almost 15%, according to the BLS, and that's up from, you know, record low at the beginning of the year. I mean, it's just a staggering rise, and we're probably going to see another staggering rise in the data coming out of May. Because, you know, every week we're seeing just massive new weekly unemployment claims. So, you know, net job loss of 20 million jobs in April, it's off the charts. It's off the charts. But what's interesting about the shape of this is that it's been very much contained in there's been a real bifurcation in who's losing their jobs. So some people have been able to work from home, and some people have jobs that you can't. So restaurant, retail jobs, they're all being closed, and, you know, it's really, you can't really do those remotely in the same way that a lot of office work can. And so one thing that's being seen is that in other downturns, the workforce housing that is perceived as most resilient, because, you know, people need a place to live, and when people get into trouble, they can maybe move down the ladder from Class A to Class B to Class C, but, you know, they'll find a place. In this particular shape, it's actually the Class A that seems best positioned, because the people renting the Class A, the luxury apartments are the ones who have not lost their jobs to the same degree. They're able to work from home. So that's, I think, something that's maybe a little different about this downturn.
Now, you mentioned that. Oh, I'm sorry. Finish that.
Please. Oh, I was going to go in another direction.
Well, I was just going to ask about rents. I mean, there isn't a lot of turnover right now, it sounds like. People are, you know, given all that's going on, people are kind of locked down. But as far as units that do come open, have you gotten any read on whether rents have been flat or they're discounting rents to get people to move in? Where do rents stand?
Right now, it's still a little unclear because, as you said, there's really not that much data, and it usually takes a little time for the information to kind of to trickle out. But anecdotally, I am hearing an uptick in concessions being offered as far as leasing goes. I would certainly expect to see at the minimum plateauing rents, if not some falling rents, at least through the third quarter. There is some expectation that things will start to recover by 2021 as far as rent growth goes, at least that's some of the forecasts I'm seeing. But this is a challenging time, and you know, it's pretty hard to know how things are going to go. When you think about a little bit more long term, though, one thing that's interesting is how this might shape apartment demand going forward, both in the places people are interested in, as well as the sort of amenities that they're looking for in a building. So one thing, you know, that had been very popular recently is, you know, really great common areas, lots of, you know, shared space amenities, a great fitness center. Well, you know, if you have a tiny box of an apartment and a nice fitness center that you cannot use in a pandemic, that tiny box of an apartment suddenly doesn't look as attractive. So there may be a shift toward more square footage in unit versus common space. There may be a rise in attractiveness of balcony space, especially for people, you know, in the city. If you're not sure about going outside, if you can't go outside without a mask on, having a balcony where you can get a little fresh air is very attractive. In the more high-end spaces, you're going to see more interest in places that can convert into a working from home telecommuting space. So, you know, making sure you have really good Wi-Fi or other, you know, internet connection within the property is going to be very important. Maybe having more space within the unit to allow for working at home. But these things are all potentially long term. If this pandemic continues for a while and kind of changes the shape of what people want. From an even bigger question, you know, there's some concern about mass transit and density and shared elevators and whether people may prefer a less dense property as far as apartments go. Although I don't know if we're going to really see that big of a change. It feels right now when we're in the middle of it that everything, you know, all of life is being remade and everything will be different because right now everything is different. I'm working from home, you're working from home, and you know, life has seemed to have had this sudden shock. But I think that as people, you know, move back toward more of a reopening of the economy, as more people return to work, as we get better treatments, as we get a vaccine, I think a lot of the concerns and the fears that are very, very of the moment right now and very deeply felt right now may fall a little bit to the wayside, and we may see a bit of a return to sort of the desires and trends that we saw both before the pandemic.
Yeah, you got to wonder how much it's worth to make real structural changes when this could be something that does disappear, and it may be a long, long, you know, but if history is our guide, although we can't always go by that, but we're good for another century, perhaps. So let's just hope so. But let me ask you this. Here's you know, the apartment sector. It's been a red hot sector for, what, 9-10 years. And here we're in the middle of this tremendous dislocation, and the sector still appears to be doing pretty darn well.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I do think, you know, if you look across the property types, there are some sectors that are perhaps even more, even better positioned. Certainly if you look at the REIT market as sort of a preview of what's happening in private markets, that really says that your best performing areas are the cellular tower and data center real estate. It, conveniently, also properties that no one really has to visit. So
yes,
they don't really have
very low maintenance.
Distancing. You know, they don't exactly have a lot of on-site human tenants. So, but
that's helpful.
But it's certainly not. The apartment sector is certainly not facing the kind of dislocation that you're seeing in the retail market. And I think that reflects, and this is something we've been speaking of before, that reflects trends prior to the pandemic. You know, retail was facing a lot of structural headwinds previous, and apartments weren't. You know, other than maybe some overbuilding in certain markets, the apartment sector was in quite good position coming into this. And so, yeah, there could be some dislocation. There could be some difficulty in the retail market. You are definitely seeing a hit to NOI. I mean, as I said, rent collection is close to normal, but it is, you know, a touch below. Like they're definitely taking a hit. Certainly not the hit that you're seeing in the retail market or the hotel market. I mean, those are just completely hammered.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there is a small NOI hit, and those landlords that are better positioned as far as having the right digital position, having the sort of properties, having the sort of tenant mix that is doing better, those will be the more successful projects right now.
The apartment sector is proving its durability. Industrial is proving its durability. You mentioned a couple other niche property types that are showing durability. And you mentioned hotels and retail, a couple of areas that have gotten slammed. So what about real estate in general? Obviously, you can segment it out by property type and then you get into submarkets and all that. But real estate as an asset class in portfolios, I know you visited that subject as well in the May edition. So what about that real estate at a time like this?
Sure. We have the big feature in the May issue, driving allocations. Real estate investors respond to coronavirus realities and waves of government intervention. I guess government intervention is a bit of a theme right now. As you can imagine, central banks, Federal Reserve, they're doing a lot right now. And one of the things they're doing is everything they can to sort of prop up and support markets. But that also means that you're looking at a period of fairly low interest rates, staggeringly low in some cases. We were in a low interest rate environment before the pandemic began. That, you know, 10-year treasuries have only gone lower since. So you get this real flight to safety. But that also means that, you know, fixed income, which is a big portion of investors' portfolios, fixed income is not performing very well. At the same time, you have seen the stock market take a big hit, although, you know, we've seen some market recovery in recent weeks. You still, you know, we are well off the highs we saw in February. And so, you know, that's another big portion of pension funds portfolios. And so with both of those showing either very low returns or high volatility or both, you know, real estate can look like a very, very good alternative in those, under those circumstances. So, you know, while yes, we are in the midst of a rather epic economic downturn, I think, you know, we are going to see quite a bit of pain within the real estate sector, but I do think that it will, on the whole, hold up, depending on, to get back to what we were speaking, just what sort of properties you're looking at and what your expectations and your underwriting are for those assets.